few years ago, I was an Airbnb host. I owned a rental property, two of them, in fact, that welcomed guests from around the world. And it was a really interesting experience. I was interested in it from the side hustle perspective. I wanted to kind of diversify assets and also just wanted to try something. I like to experiment and such. And of course, I loved the flexibility of it. If you're interested in Airbnb, it's good for somebody who is frequently traveling, somebody who has extra space, somebody who has a seasonal house, or perhaps somebody who's always away at the same time of year for some kind of tradition, holiday event, or work situation. Check it out for yourself. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome to a new week of Side Hustle School and also a new week in your life. I realize it's not just about the podcast. You've got a life. You got things you are building for yourself. It's my goal to support you in that with this daily 10-minute investment in yourself. Just helping you think about different ways to make money or different ways to do something differently, to create more of a future for yourself. Whatever your situation in life, whether you love your job or not, a side hustle can help you for all kinds of reasons. Now, over here, we are in the last couple of days of the Side Hustle Society relaunch. Over the past week, we've been welcoming in lots of new members to our online community. It's a place where you can get feedback, a place where you can share your idea, ask questions, connect with people about resources, different tools. We're going to be forming some subgroups in the near future. We also have at least one guest expert who's going to be facilitating some calls. I'm excited about that. If you have not had a chance to check it out yet, I would love to welcome you into the program. It's going to close again really soon, and you can join with no commitment at sidehustleschool.com/society. All right, so today we're going to look at the Fulfillment by Amazon model and creating your own products to sell using that model. As part of our year three leveling up, we're trying to go above and beyond and say, okay, here are the stories, but what else can we take away from this? What actionable steps or practical info can we give you? This story includes three questions you should ask when researching products to sell, as well as a pricing guideline. Really specific info here. How much should you charge if using this FBA model? If you don't know what FBA is, well, I'm going to tell you about that too. In this story, a presidential pencil holder and a keen eye for travel gear leads to a $6,000 a month travel business. In fact, it's a side hustle that packs a punch. So stay tuned for that story.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Digital strategist Scott Bright was burned out and frustrated by the 9-to-5 grind. He'd been hired straight out of college and couldn't help but feel that he wanted to be his own boss. Some of his friends were running their own companies, selling their own products, and exploring the world. Scott felt it was about time he got a piece of that action. So he began by looking for business models which would help him leave his job, but that he could also run while traveling. A friend recommended he look at Amazon's FBA service, after that friend had started a successful business of his own, importing and selling outdoor goods. Now, if you're not familiar, FBA stands for Fulfillment by Amazon. We talked about it a number of times on the show. It's a program that helps people start and manage an e-commerce business. With this model, Amazon keeps the stock of a product you sell in their warehouses all over the country, and they take care of the processing, handling, shipping, and returns of your items. Now, in return, they take a significant portion of the money because, you know, they're not doing this to be nice. Still, because Amazon has so many customers, it's a model that's working for a lot of people. Now, this seemed like a great solution to Scott, so he devised a test to see how it worked. He created a simple political satire product, namely a pencil holder. This pencil holder was called Dump a Trump in the run-up to the 2016 election. So I'll let you search for yourself to see how it looks if you're curious, but let's just say it doesn't feature a flattering angle of the current occupant of the White House. This initial product saw a ridiculous amount of success and taught him a few lessons about selling on Amazon. Specifically, he learned a great rule of thumb for pricing. And that rule is you should aim to charge 4 times the amount the product costs to manufacture and ship. So, for example, if your product costs you $4 to make and $2 to ship, you would want to charge at least 4 times $6, which I believe is, I don't know, what is that? Let me get my calculator. Oh, I think it is $24. With the income generated from that product, Scott was able to quit his job in December 2017 and book a one-way ticket to Vietnam. He figured he'd come back when he was good and ready or when he had his next great business idea. But the longer and further he traveled, the more he wanted to keep going. So he began to look for opportunities to tie his passion for business and exploration together. He began interacting with more travelers, both online and with social media, and he noticed some common trends. One that really stood out was the gear people brought with them when they traveled, specifically the bags and rucksacks and suitcases people used. The most aesthetically pleasing and functional pieces were really expensive, and the more reasonably priced ones were ugly and far less functional. Noticing this, Scott began thinking of alternatives for lightweight budget backpackers. He felt there had to be a way to create affordable gear which was functional and looked good. With the knowledge he already had of Amazon FBA, he set out to research products he could make and sell. Now, I already gave you that pricing guideline. Here are 3 key questions you should ask when researching products. He used these questions himself. 1, are people already buying similar products? 2, is there already a healthy amount of competition? And 3, can you comfortably charge the consumer 4 times the initial costs? There's a lot more we could say about all that, but let's keep going for now. Only once all 3 of those boxes are checked does a product become eligible, at least in Scott's mind, for Amazon FBA. And the only product which met those criteria for Scott was packing cubes, which he was able to have affordably made and shipped from suppliers on Alibaba. I use a packing cube myself when I travel, just one. It's where I put my clothes in. You can kind of like compress it and save some more space in your bag. So Scott reached out to a few friends and created some mock-up designs for his cubes, a sunrise, a sunset, and an icy mountain scene. You could call it the Instagram trifecta of packing cubes. He then sent those designs onto the manufacturers to get samples. He judged the quality and eventually placed his first order. He also gave his new business a name, Well-Traveled Gear. Now, unlike his first project, this wasn't a cheap startup. Scott had around $35,000 to invest in the business, but all of that money came from his pencil holder earnings. So he's essentially just reinvesting back in the business, but to create a different product. Now, this gave him a significant budget to play with, but it also didn't require him to dip into his life savings. Those startup costs were spent mostly on buying inventory. He spent $30,000 on 5,000 units of the packing cubes, which were then sent directly to Amazon. He never had to touch the inventory. The other $5,000 went to brand development, advertising, and creating his Shopify website. He says the key to starting a brand in a competitive space like luggage is to find your little sliver of the market and go all in on serving those customers. This will allow you to build a brand which attracts the right type of customer who can then become an evangelist for what you create. So far, it's working out pretty well. Well-Traveled Gear has sold around 2,000 units per month since starting, which works out to around $6,000 in monthly revenue. Now, going forward, Scott wants to focus less on Amazon and more on bringing more people into his website. Even in the year since he started this new business, he's seen the luggage market change a lot, and he wants to make sure he has more control and isn't at the whim of Amazon's algorithm. It sounds like he's packing his bags with ideas and income. So in this story, we have a great transition from a gag gift to something that has more potential to sell for a long time and build a brand around. So the gag gift that he was selling, the pencil holder, I mean, it is pretty amazing that something like that can sell so well. We've had a lot of stories about something that's a trend and kind of takes off and does, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in income and sometimes more than that. So that, of course, is a success of its own. But I think he was really smart in recognizing, okay, this is something that's, you know, it's going to pass. It's not going to be here forever. So how can I apply the knowledge that I've learned and sell for something that could last perhaps for, you know, longer than a political cycle or whatever it is? So good for him. Now, I do have one critique based on his website. I went to take a look at his about page. And our longtime listeners, you probably have heard me talk about this before. The about page on your website is the most important page after the homepage. I mean, everybody always thinks about the homepage, but when I go and look at somebody's website, I'm always curious, like, what is the story behind it? You know, who is the person who's doing this? Who is the person? Who is the team? Whatever it is. So on Scott's website, he's got, you know, a prominent page that's called About, and the footer, it actually says Our Story. So it's a page that says, here's our story. It's about us. But on that page, he doesn't actually have a story, and he doesn't actually have anything about him. All he has is a really short single paragraph that says, well-traveled is built for your next journey. Whether you're backpacking, trekking, or escaping to white sand beaches, we'll keep you organized. So not a bad couple of sentences, but that's it. There's nothing else there. There's no photo of him. There's no story of why he started this business. There's no, you know, here's how it's going to change your life. Like, there could just be so much more there. And if you're just trying to sell one off, you know, if you're just trying to sell something to somebody and never sell to them again, then maybe that's not that critical. But since his goal is, in fact, to build a brand, then I think it would be wise to invest a little time there. So just a suggestion. And also, I've been reading a lot about Amazon FBA recently myself. I read this article that I'm going to share with you. I'm going to link it up in the show notes. Just kind of a crazy article about the competition in that space. This whole article about how there were overseas sellers who leave, you know, false reviews on their competitors' listings to try to get them delisted by Amazon. And then once you get delisted, it's like a, you know, huge pain to get back up. And there's like a whole cottage industry that's starting now around helping people, you know, get relisted after they've been taken down by a competitor. So just some crazy stuff there. I thought it was notable. So I will link that up for you in the show notes if you'd like to read. And let's see what else. Well, speaking of those show notes, those are at sidehustleschool.com/758. This has been episode 758. As mentioned, we're in the last couple of days of the Side Hustle Society relaunch. I would love to have you join our online community and check it out. See if we can help you, give you a little boost so that you can have a success story of your own. Information about that is also on the website, sidehustleschool.com/society. All right, that's it for me. I hope you have a wonderful day wherever you are in the world. My name is Chris Guillebeau. This is Side Hustle School.